Good morning, everyone. Hope you'll take some time today to pause and thank God for those who laid down their lives for our freedoms. Laid down their life for our freedom. And as Brother Craig mentioned, the greatest soldier for the souls of men and the one who hates sin and loves us enough to die on the cross for us is Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Word of God says, verses 11 through 13, listen if you will. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called us into his kingdom and glory. For this cause also we thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So today I pray that as we go through the word of God, you won't look at it as just the mere words of a preacher, but the word of God himself. Go to Titus chapter 2, if you will, please. Titus chapter 2. And we've been looking at these family roles as prescribed by God. One of the family roles that's missing here, and it's in another place, is a single man or woman. A single man or woman could have been married in the past or not married at all. But or their spouse could have died, but they're single. And the Bible teaches that there's an unusual freedom to single people. They don't generally have to consult with others about what they're doing. They can just pick up and go pretty fast. Now, if you're a married person and you do that, you might get yourself in a little trouble. At least let us know what you're doing, right? But when you're single, there is that opportunity to serve God without considering other restraints. But in our passage today, we looked at these several places where God has commanded us to live out sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is a word which you get hygiene from. It means healthy, godly living. We all need healthy, godly living. If we're suffering in some way, we'll know that it's only for a time frame, and then one day, a new heaven, a new earth, and a new body too, and all God's people say, amen. That's all coming. The best is yet to come. But in Titus chapter 2, we're commanded to humbly receive this sound doctrine for living. In Titus 2 and verse 1, for instance, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, healthy teaching from God. That's what it means. Everybody's talking. Everybody's got a doctrine. And this is the doctrine of God. So we want to listen to God. In verse 8, he particularly points out young men to have sound speech. There's our word again. Be careful about saying things that are corrupt as a young man. And it's interesting that he just went through speaking about young women. So one of the areas particularly that young men need to be careful about is how they talk about young women. Very important there if you're going to follow God. And then in verse 15, it says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So we see speak here again. Sound doctrine is the idea to speak. What we have received of God, we are to speak to others. What we have received of God, we are to speak it to others. Who is your highest authority? If it just comes down to yourself, you're going to be a miserable person. How many of you know that other people haven't died and left you to king? Anybody? Anybody? Okay. What happens when you get two people trying to rule in one situation? you get a lot of head butting going on, right? In fact, the Lord told the nation of Israel, for instance, you've got a hard head and a stiff neck with regard to the Messiah, and I'm going to be a harder head than you are. So when we come together, my head's going to crack your head. An adamant stone, I believe he calls it. So Isaiah says, hey, your word against the word of God, your word's going to fail if you go against the word of God. Our word will not prevail against the word of God. The word of God will stand, and it will continue from generation to generation. All God's people say, amen. So here is a pattern for godly living that is supposed to translate itself into the church and start affecting the community in which we live and effectively sharing the gospel all around the world. So God does have a role, a pattern for us to fulfill. You'll notice that the earth is like Crete and the island that Paul sent Timothy to there to set up the ministry there. A lot of people lying today, telling lies. As a way of life, they're lying. And there is a thing called the truth. And folks, we want to live the truth. We don't want to live lies. We want to live the truth. And may God help us live the truth. Titus 2:15 is where we're at in the passage going through the book of Titus. Titus is a young minister like Timothy, two of the pastoral letters Paul writes to him. And it's actually God speaking to Paul. He wrote down the words, and Titus and Timothy are supposed to receive these words as though they came out of the mouth of God. And I hope that you'll receive them that way too. The Thessalonians were more noble than other people because when the word of God was preached, they received it not as the word of men, but as in fact it is the word of God. The word of God will stand. Let's read verses 11 through 15 today just for our context. And we're talking about the working of grace. You know, you can't do what God desires you to do without appropriating the grace of God. This isn't our best efforts, folks. This isn't our natural strength. This is us yielding to God to help us and taking His grace. So let's look at these roles again, because at the end of chapter 2, we see in verse 15 that we're commanded very strongly to obey these commands, and that's where we're at today. And a title of our message today, on the highest authority. Whose word are you going to receive as the highest authority? I hope it's God. Titus 2, verse 11 through 15. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, like the sun arising in the morning, spreading across. That's what grace does. And it also teaches us that there's one God, Creator, one Savior, but it also teaches us how to live. Grace. This thing called grace. Verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness, those are the negatives, and worldly lust, the positives, we should live soberly, sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The present world is the evil world system. And here's what we've got to be looking for, the return of Christ. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope, that eulogy, that good thing that's going to happen. You can expect it to happen and you can bank your life on it. Christ will return and reign on the earth. That's coming. He's also described in verse 13 as the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. Who is He? Jesus Christ. Jesus means salvation. Christ means the anointed one. The only one that could do that work. The only one that could do the work of salvation would be a perfect human being. Died on the cross for our sins. He has two natures, a human nature, the divine nature from all of time, never created. He's before all of the creation. He is the Savior. He personally, in verse 14, who gave Himself for us, that two things, He might redeem us from all iniquity, free us from enslavement to sin. redeemed, paid the price, and set us free. And then notice, and to purify unto himself, to purify us, that means to make us totally like Christ, by removing all the effects of sin in our life. This, of course, is over time. As we continue to yield to the Word of God, we won't arrive there until we get to heaven, by the way. It's a process of purification. And purify unto himself a peculiar or a special people, zealous. That's a word for passion. So when we realize the grace of our salvation, it will impassion us to do what? What's the next statement? Of good works. So if we're starting to fall off in good works, we need to be impassioned again about the grace of God saving us when we deserved to pay for our own sins and die and go to hell. But we're not going to hell if we trusted Christ as our Savior, and we are going to heaven. Amen. I'm not working to be received by God. I'm working because I'm already received by God through faith in Christ. That makes all the difference in the world. And I say a little joke every now and then. My wife says, honey, go out there and cut the grass and everything. I'll give you a big kiss when you get done. I said, no, I want a big kiss now. Then I'll go cut the grass. Can we get an amen? Brother Dan likes that one. I'm working from grace, not to earn it. Amen. And the more you work that in your relationships, I got to tell you, you're going to have a good relationship. The more you work in grace in your relationships, the better your relationships will be. You know why? Because we're all human failure. Human failure. The only perfect one here today is Jesus Christ. And let us remember that. Walk in humility. Room for improvement in all of us. But God has taken us to His likeness. He's taken us toward His likeness. There's really only two messages in the Bible. One is evangelism. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And the other one is edification. Edification, building up one another in your most holy faith. Evangelism, seeking to give the message of grace of salvation for others to be saved. And the other one is edification, coming to build up one another in faith in God. So these zealous of good works means be impassioned. Impassioned, a zeal comes out of believing you've been saved by grace. Now, if your mind has drifted away from that, you need to get alone with God and get that grace again developing in you that's already there, appropriating that grace as being totally forgiven, fully loved, and eternally accepted by God in the Beloved. Need to meditate on the doctrine, the truth of what God has done for you. And then you'll be wanting to serve God in some way again. If we sat down in our service spiritually, we have stopped appropriating the grace of God in some degree. We won't want to serve in the letter. We want to serve in love. We won't want to serve in the letter. Just do it because you have to. We won't want to do it. We want a want-to service because we have a glorious God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll want to serve in some fashion. We will want to have that come through our life in some fashion. Whether it's pressure washing a neighbor's house, which I shared with my Sunday school class, cleaning up gross stuff, empty beer cans that stink to high heavens in the sun of the day. What are the purposes? Well, it's not making money, I can tell you that. Got to be something greater than that. What is it? The salvation of one man's soul. Are you involving yourself in somebody for the purposes of evangelizing them? I hope that you are. And the other thing is this. This is discipleship. Are you intentionally involving yourself with someone for the purpose of building them up to have faith in God? That's discipleship. This is what we're called to do. So then in verse 15, he's commanded, these things speak, what I just told you, and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Wow, look at verse 15 again. What we just summarized there. Paul is telling Titus, this young minister, to speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Boy, don't you love that word authority. Our culture doesn't like anyone being an authority over them. Let no man despise thee. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open your word of truth to us today. We cannot bear these things in our flesh. We'll be wiggling around in our seat, uncomfortable and not wanting to submit ourselves. So, Lord, we ask for grace now. We ask that every person would take grace. This is your enabling to receive the truth. And Lord, where we need to be rebuked, we thank you for it. Because you love us. Every now and then you tell us we're not going the right way in our attitude or in our actions. So Lord, we pray that you would transform us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Fill us with your Spirit. And Holy Spirit of God, teach our hearts about your wonderful grace. In Jesus' name, amen. All believers are submitted to, or commanded to submit to the highest authority, and the highest authority is God Himself. What God has said about family roles and honor should be carried out in the body of Christ, the church. He mentions the elders, the older men. They're to demonstrate a mature love and patience with people as they rule the church. They're to be respected and followed, and especially the elder that's teaching the Bible, and that happens to be me right now. I don't take any pride in that, by the way, whatsoever, because that means I'm more accountable to the Lord. That's what it means. And the two words pastor, teacher, by the way, in Philippians chapter 4 remind me of this. As a pastor, I'm to tenderly care for the people. And when I think upon you, I think upon you tenderly, and I pray for you. And as a teacher, I am to teach you the Word of God. I'm to study it. It's hard work to study the Bible, hours and hours and hours. I didn't think this sermon was exactly the way it should be laid out. So from 1:30 to 3:30 this morning, I was aligning it as I believed God would have me do. And guess what? I failed to print it out and had to print it out here at the church. I thought I left that at home. But that's okay because it was already working in my heart and I could preach it without the notes. I preached with the notes because I might get off track. So that's why I do it. It's a self-discipline, actually. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you. See, God's given the rule. Who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or their way of life. What is the goal of their conversation, their way of life? And that is this, to be like Jesus Christ. My desire is to be just like Jesus Christ. And believe me, I have a long way to go. And having said that, can you humbly admit to yourself and to others, there's room for improvement in me too? That's the older men. Yet God does give the older mature men the leadership in the church. So fellas, we got to step up to the plate and take on that dignity of godly leadership. Older women are next. Not to be malicious gossips like they were at the island of Crete, spending their time slandering the character of others or befriending alcohol so much that they're getting drunk. But rather be a pattern to the younger women with regard to loving their own husbands and children and being those who adorn the holiness of God. There's a certain aroma about older women that is developed, becoming, and befitting a befitting fragrance of prolonged faithfulness, and that is their new attraction. Younger women are to be chaste, that means pure sexually until they're married, and they're to be discreet as a way of life, carrying themselves in an honorable fashion, modestly, carrying themselves in an upright manner, to be a loving friend. We learned something here. It's the young wives that have to be a loving friend of their husband and children. They have to develop the friendship. That's a command for younger women. Older women are to tell the younger women to do that. Young men are to get serious about the things of God and stay that way. Desire the mature godliness you see in older men. Get your rule and order of life from the Word of God and live in victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Speak healthy things. Don't get yourself involved in perverse conversations. Use your tongue for good, young men. Learn how to find your strength in the Lord. Plan to get married. That's the most. And raise a godly seed unto the Lord. That's the will of God. On occasion, God calls people to singleness, but not too often. On occasion, He does. Then He even gets into slaves. One out of every three people, when this was written 2,000 years ago, was a slave. One out of every three people. And some of them were a slave their whole life. There were doctors and lawyers. Some of them were slaves too. People who had been overcome in campaigns of war, and they'd take the people to themselves. So all kind of people became slaves. Slaves are to do their work and to the Lord. This is amazing. Quietest sermon I've ever had in Tabernacle Baptist Church is when I preached on the sacred service of a slave. I don't know why it was so quiet. Maybe it was just so unusual to say that a man or a woman who's a slave can have perfect peace even if their master was rotten as a leader. They can have perfect peace in their work because their work has to be unto the Lord and not unto men. Wow. That's power. That's power. No walking off the job when you're a slave. You're owned. This is how we adorn or put on the spiritual clothing and attract other people to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, our great God and our Savior. Everybody is to be submitted to God, and everybody is to be mutually submitted to one another as the Word of God goes forth in the power of the Spirit. And how we go about in our attitude and in our action will either be a hindrance to the gospel being received or an attraction for people to receive it. Our attitude in life, in work, and our action, how we do our work, will either attract people to the Lord or distract people from the Lord. What are we looking for? We're looking for grace. The Bible commands us to look for that glorious grace that's coming in the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when He returns to the earth. Be looking forward to that. But this passage teaches that grace is personified as a teacher, and it teaches us to live for the Lord, taking grace daily. Daily grace. How many of you need daily grace? Need it all the time. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it heartily unto the Lord. You need daily grace for that. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. It says, have a fervent charity amongst yourself. Because it doesn't matter anyway if there's no love. Amen? Let me just read it word by word. But the end of all things is at hand. The age is coming to an end. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have a fervent or impassioned love amongst yourselves, because love or charity will cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received this gift of grace, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God, as of the words of God. If any man minister or serve, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. That's grace. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We are to speak with grace, saying difficult things at times. We are to serve with grace, doing things we don't naturally want to do at times. And that does take grace. If God is our highest authority, we'll take the grace. If God is not our highest authority, we've made ourselves the highest authority, we will refuse grace and we'll be moved by our feelings. And feelings are all over the place, and they're not a good place to rest our faith. Rather, we need to have our feelings align with our faith in God. Feelings are up and down, but God is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. What does grace do? It leads us to salvation. Then it teaches us not to be living to the lust of our flesh, but the love toward God and one another. What is grace? Grace has been defined as divine favor, strength, blessing, enabling to know and obey God. We couldn't earn grace, we don't deserve grace, and we can never repay grace. Oh Lord, I'm just out to pay you back today. You're serving in the wrong capacity then. Oh, we're a debtor, but it can never be paid. We live because we received, not to be received. Our mentality has to change toward people. Oh, I heard a little something about so-and-so wasn't so good. Yeah, well, don't give them any more time. No. Go to them. Do what you can to have peace with them. See yourself as a minister of Jesus Christ to them. Everybody's not going to always agree with us. We know that. But we can live peaceably by acknowledging Christ first of all. What is greater than all of our sin, folks? It's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. And now look at the verse 15. We'll focus in on this verse for the rest of the sermon. These three words that God commands grow in intensity as they are communicated. What I have just said about grace and salvation, what I have just said about godly living through grace, what I've just said about these roles in the family and in the church. And verse 15 is a summary statement. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So here's Titus. And he's gone into a place where these Judaizers had come after the gospel. And they started setting up, telling people, if you obey the law, then you're really saved. Well, that's how you get saved. And Paul sent Titus to say, nope, tell them they're removed from leadership. And you're to set up mature, godly men who realize, apart from the saving grace of Jesus Christ, they would be damned in their own sin. Put those people in leadership. All God's people say, amen. It's grace, folks. The church is a work of grace. Holy living and growth is a work of grace. All we need to do is keep taking the grace, and we will be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And believe me, there's plenty of opportunity to take grace in life. Can we get an amen there today? There is. Take the grace. And I think, you know, I said to Laurie yesterday, I think, you know, she said, look at this picture right here. This couple's up. Where were you at, John Mark, yesterday? You and the fries and the ham. Where were you guys at? Knoebels or something? Yeah, well, they sent us a picture, you know, these young couples, these kids everywhere and everything, you know, and all of them are smiling. And I said to my wife, I got to tell you, I think the hardest job is young mother. I really do. The stinky diapers, that's just, you know, I think it's a gift from God for me to go out and cut the grass when that kind of stuff happens. You know, I got to go. Please call me. Honey, what are you doing? I'm finding someone to call me so I can get out of here. I remember those younger days. In some ways, they seemed a little easier, right? The kids didn't cost as much for one. Amen. Can we get an amen? But here's the thing. It went fast, didn't it? And young mothers and parents, let me tell you, it will go fast. And enjoy every day. Take the grace. and be ministry-minded to your husband and your children. That's a call from God in that role. So he says right here in verse 15, these things speak. And I say that, by the way, because our culture is increasingly trying to take the woman away from the family and putting her down if she stays in the home. Constantly the culture's doing that. So we're not going to stand for it, just to let you know. We're going to stand up for Jesus Christ, and all God's people say, amen. It always turns my stomach and makes me a little angry when somebody will say, oh, your husband and your kid, oh, so you don't have a job. What an idiot. I think it's in the Bible somewhere. Don't have a job. Are you kidding? That's the most important job there is. Ministering the children so they'll be the next disciples of Jesus Christ themselves. Hopefully. That's a call. In verse 15 here, we see the intensity of these commands given. Speak. Speak means to speak the truth in love. We are to say what God says about the way of salvation and godly living. We're to say that. And it's not popular in our culture today. Philemon, verses 4 through 6. Paul wrote God's word to Philemon. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Get this now, verse 6. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual. Does anybody want that? The communicating of their faith become effectual, gain some ground in other people's lives. Here's what the word says. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by telling people how good you are as a Christian. Is that what it says? By telling people how much you gave today in the offering. By telling people how long you've been saved. Most people don't give a flip about that, to tell you the truth. They need to see Jesus Christ in us. Did you know that? That the communication of thy faith may become effectual. How? By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. It'd be like this. If you ever see anything good in me, that would be Jesus. Hey, I notice how you work. Your work ethic. You're not a clock watcher. It seems like you got a higher motivation for your work. And your attitude, I mean, you know, when other people are complaining about, you don't seem to want to join into that. So your attitude and your actions paved the way to present the gospel because you live in grace. And if we don't live in the grace, if we don't take the grace, we just join in with everybody else complaining. Yeah, you know, what a miserable existence today is. I got one day I enjoy. What is it? Friday. Thank God it's Friday. Well, what about Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? Yeah, what about those days? If you're walking in communion with the Lord every day, you can enjoy every day. Thank God for this day. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it because our joy is the Lord. Amen. Abraham Lincoln said this, talking about speaking the truth in love. We are to speak up. Abraham Lincoln said, to sin by silence when we should protest makes cowards out of men. Edmund Burke, the only thing necessary for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. In order to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we must join the fight for souls of men by loving them enough to speak the truth to them. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope which is in you with meekness and fear. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. That means pray how to speak to people. Pray how to give them an answer. Because your attitude and your actions will open up the door for the gospel. So what are you depending on? Well, it's not the stock market, I can tell you that. It's not my perfect health. It's not the immense capacities of my brain. These people, you know, they're so brainy that if it rains, we're afraid they're going to drown. You know what I mean? But folks, the mind of Christ is glorious. It's attractive, but it's not attractive to our flesh. Speak means to say these things in your everyday conversation amongst others. The word speak here is one which means amongst your daily conversations. Be referring back to the gospel. Be referring to your work ethic and your attitudes that are embedded in the grace of God. That's a command. And then this word exhort here, means to strongly encourage another to believe on the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Exhort. Again, strongly encourage what we have just read. To strongly encourage others to believe on the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. It means to strongly encourage other believers to remember the grace of God. A coach on a team or a good teacher will always want those underneath them, their influence, to excel, and they believe they can excel if they'll listen to what the coach says. So this word exhort here means to strongly encourage them to do it, and he's talking about the pastor teacher here, and he's telling them, strongly encourage the people to obey the word of God. Strongly encourage your children to obey the word of God. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture means I love you and I care about you. Admonition means I want you to obey God. Listen, I love you and I care about you, and I want you to obey God. If you get, I want you to obey God and I don't care about you, they're not going to be caring about what you say. People want to know that you love them, even when they fail. I can't think of anything more miserable in a marriage relationship, which I haven't experienced, by the way. I just say I can't think of it. I hope I never do. Might be the other way around, but I can't think of anything more miserable than to be on pins and needles wondering if you're pleasing someone all the time. Folks, our relationship with God is not that way. We have pleased God by believing on His Son. And therefore, we ought to be living out that grace. Truth is meant to be embraced, and exhortations are to get us going. So let's go forward with the Lord every day. Let's get going. Double time it is a military term. I was watching this military movie last night. My wife and I were in one part of the segment there. The commander told the private, go get some important papers for me and double time it. I wanted to add that into my sermon today, so there I did. That's one of my adjustments. My dad used to say this on occasion, being a former Army guy. Double time it! And I didn't realize he got that from the military. But sometimes he used that with regard to going to church too. Let's get going and get going fast. Or we're not going to make it on time. What is Memorial Day? It's near. It's thanking God for those who gave their lives to protect our freedoms. And we should do that. The greatest memorial day is Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Back in our Bibles here in chapter 2, verse 15 of Titus, these things speak and exhort. You need to speak them. You need to exhort others to strongly to obey. And then rebuke with all authority. This word rebuke is to tell someone, you're not going the right way or you're going the wrong way about it. You're not going the right way or you're going the wrong way about it. And folks, we've got to be humble enough to listen. And we've got to be humble enough to know our limitations. There's no use me getting involved in the mechanics because I don't have a clue. I've tried to understand it. I just don't understand it. I can take it apart. I just can't put it back together. But my gift, according to God, is this. People who are taken apart and God putting them back together. That's my gift. I got to stay with mine. So, therefore, I'm going to ask Cam to work on my lawnmower because I don't know how to fix it. It's not my gift. I already know it. Think about it. All of us have a certain gift, and we're to be bringing those gifts that God has given us and building one another up. It's a glorious thing when people try to outserve one another. That's glory. But if you go scraping for volunteers on something, you know what's happened? Somebody stepped off the joy of their salvation, and now serving is just a drudgery. When we ask the Lord to restore the joy of our salvation, we'll have to serve somewhere. We'll have to. Rebuke, you're not going the right way or you're going the wrong way about it. Proverbs 9, 8 through 10. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, he will love thee. So how we receive it determines where our heart is. Give instruction to a wise man, he'll get yet wiser. Teach a just man, he'll increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy. That's understanding. It's very foolish to exalt our feelings above the faithful truth of God's word. Our feelings are all over the place. Remember what Thomas did? When the Lord resurrected, he wasn't present with the other disciples, and he said, I won't believe unless I see the holes in his hands and feet and side. And what did the Lord say? When he appeared to him the next time, Thomas was there. Reach forth your finger then. Here's my side. Behold my hands and my feet. And what did Thomas say? He said, my Lord and my God. And folks, that's what we've got to do. We've got to humbly come back to the Lord and say, my Lord and my God. Are these the kind of words that come out of our mouth on a regular basis? You know what Satan is? He's a thief. He'll try to kill, steal, and to destroy us. And Jesus said, John 10:10, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. The life of Jesus Christ in us is the abundant life. So who is the greatest soldier? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus has to rebuke false gods. He said, I am the way, no other way, the truth and life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But on occasion, he has to rebuke the believer. Why? Because the believer has so filled his life with so many things, he's no longer having fellowship with the Lord on a regular basis. Revelation chapter 3, verses 19 through 20. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous and passionate, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door, and I knock. Will you let me come in, sit down at the table with you, and talk together? I'm too busy, Lord, too busy, got too many plans. You see, my schedule's already full, and Jesus just stands there knocking. Will you please let me come in, sit down at the table with you, and meet the desire of your heart? And the Lord rebukes us. I'm so glad he does, aren't you? He just doesn't let us float on in our own way, but always drawing us back to himself by love and grace. Verse 15, we see this word, next word coming up is speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. This is one of the favorite words in our 21st century, authority. Authority is the right to rule based on who one is, to give commands and expect them to be carried out. To give commands and expect them to be carried out. By the way, all human authorities are delegated authorities. Even the office of pastor-teacher, though the pastor-teacher is a gift from God to the congregation, it's still the congregation that delegates the authority to the pastor. For instance, if you don't want to follow a pastor-teacher, you don't have to. And then please go to another church. Amen. You don't have to, but if you want to please God, you do. Oh, you know the weakness I'm in. You know what we ought to be doing with the people in leadership? We ought to really be praying for them. Lord, help them to rightly divide the word of truth. Help them to care for us, nurture us, tell them that we love us. And folks, I love you. I care about you. I know you got messes going on in your family just like I do mine. And here I am. I love you. Let's go forward with the Lord. Don't run away from God in trouble. Run to God. Run to God. And let's run to God together. Why? Because He is our Lord and our God. That's the highest authority. This word despise right here, the next word, let no man despise thee, means to a military term. It means don't let anyone outmaneuver you with their empty words, to circle someone with their words. Why did Paul have to tell Titus that? Because these false teachers would try to circle Titus, diminish the message, and destroy the church. And Paul said, no, no. Don't let anyone try to outdo you with their words. And folks, the only way the church will survive is for us to stay with this book and let not anybody try to outmaneuver the truth. Amen? And that's why we often go right verse by verse to see what God has to say. I want to meet with God. God is my ultimate authority. Speak the truth in love. Be patient with people. There is a heaven to gain by faith and there's a hell to lose. That's the big picture. But in our daily experience, we ought to be walking by that glorious grace of God. I like this one, by the way. You know what Satan tries to do when we fail as believers? He'll come and try to attack us or remind us of yesterday's sin. And you know what we're to do? We're to go right back to the authority. And here's what the authority says. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I thought about that, cleansing us from all unrighteousness. You know what that means, folks? God's after a heart attitude. Why is He after a heart attitude toward Him? Because how could we possibly remember all of our sins? Sometimes we sin against God and don't even know it because God's holy. Thoughts, words, and deeds. Well, who gave you this authority, Jesus, as you walked on the earth? I received it of my Father. No man ever spake like this man. The scribes and the Pharisees spoke in a suggestive manner. Take it or leave it, you know, it's okay. But Jesus spoke with the, thus saith the Lord, and obey it. That's different. Jesus has authority over demons, death, physical and spiritual, disease, to forgive sins, creation, winds and waves, to send to eternal damnation or grant eternal salvation. Nobody has that authority but God. And that just shows you Jesus is God in human flesh. In 2 Timothy 3:15, Timothy was given the word that from a child he should know the Holy Scriptures to teach salvation. In John 17:17, the Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Urge the people to obey the word of God, but be patient with them while you're doing it. One of our biggest failures probably is being impatient with people. As the word of God begins to form and take place in their lives, we can be very impatient with people. And the Bible commands us to be patient, which is an expression of love. Let's close with 2 Timothy chapter 4. Turn your Bibles, if you would, there, please. It's the book right before Titus. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verses 1 and 2. The command to preach the word to Timothy as well. Whose authority are we going to live underneath? I hope it's the authority of God. 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. I charge thee before God as though we're standing right before God. And the Lord Jesus, what will He do? Who shall judge the living, the quick, and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom? Preach the word. That's what we just did. Be instant, in season and out of season. When it's convenient, when it's not convenient, preach the truth in love. reprove, rebuke, there's our word, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And folks, did you catch it right there, the love statement? Long suffering is patience. And what is doctrine? That's the teachings of God. Be patient with people. Some will not endure sound doctrine, but you just heard it. I hope that you receive it and ask God for grace to live it. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth today. You are the highest authority in our heart, in our life. May we live that way. If anyone's here today has not trusted Christ for their salvation, your word says, your authority, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that is, in faith, shall be saved. I thank you, Christ, for your death for our sins, your burial, and 3 days later, your resurrection, proving your God in human flesh. And Lord, let us take the grace to live daily, knowing that you will come again and receive us to yourself, those who believe. In Jesus' name, all God's people say, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.